turd. Hawking is a fraud. NASA is a hoax. Coriolis is a bunch of gold. Okay, thanks for joining. It's still May the 13th, 2021. If you were with us last night, earlier today, we were talking about the power of the dark side, just the reference that the hacking group made to the Star Wars franchise, and Star Wars being a reference to the space wars to come. Well, the simulated space wars, because space is a hypothetical environment, mostly just simulation. Phones are open, 833-311-1984. Let me go ahead and catch up on the voicemails. Poor network connection. Okay, let's try another one. I have the transcripts. Here we go.
Oh, hey, I just was watching your stream, and I saw you pull up that garbage bin thing you did where you unfolded it as a cross. I just wanted to point out that in Canada, there's a garbage bin called Moloch. And it's spelled M-O-L-O-K. And it's a garbage bin company. They throw out all the garbages and stuff like that. And obviously that refers to, like, Moloch, the god. And it actually even looks like a little owl nose, the way it's spelled. Like, the L is the nose of the owl, and the two O's are the eyes. So I think I just missed you at the end of your show here. But maybe you can contrast that later on to your garbage bin thing you were showing. Anyway, bye.
Nice. Very interesting tidbit there. So let me go ahead and bring you up to speed on exactly what the caller was referencing. So here's a little bit of artwork I created the other day. I'm just showing how the recycling bin is an altar to Osiris, Saturn, Baal, Moloch. Take your pick. That it's a cube unfolded. A cross is a cube unfolded. And I was pointing out that this is the original green god, the god of death, vegetation, the god of resurrection, recycling. And that the modern ritual of confession is recycling. That your original sin is your carbon footprint. Wrath of God is global warming, climate change. And this is the perfect emblem. I would say when you look at the symbol for recycling, the three arrows. And the three arrows going in a circle actually form in the negative space a hexagram, another important symbol of Saturn, Osiris, Baal, etc. And what's more, contained within the hexagram is a hexagon, which is a two-dimensional cube. Again, it's all tied to the same set of symbols and nomenclature. So I'm looking at this because I've been saying for years that this is essentially an act of worship. You're genuflecting before the Earth God every time you separate your trash in order to mitigate his wrath, to show you're sorry for having made the wrong decisions. You know, they actually have climate change confessions at NBC's website where you can go to their website and say, I didn't recycle. I drove my SUV. And people do it. They feel bad. They're apologizing to the God, the angry storm God. We talk about this quite a lot, the symbol of Noah having been co-opted by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to sell you on this ancient flood myth. Well, here we go. I'm suggesting that the dumpster is an altar to Baal, to the Earth God, the green god Osiris. So you go there and you mitigate his wrath and you show that you're conscientious of your actions. So anyway, I added to this the correlation between the three arrows and the arrows that hold the crucified sun god to the cross. So just another level of symbolism that actually makes a great deal of sense. Now, what the caller had to add to this is that in Canada, they have a recycling waste container company out there called Moloch, and it's M-O-L-O-K. And I'm looking here just to see, and he suggested something about the logo looking like a bull or Moloch. Not surprising. I mean, there's more to this than just symbolism. This is all about worldview. Every time you take the time to separate your trash, you're recognizing that you made a mistake as a consumer, one that could cause a flood. You know, this is literally just a guilt trip they put on you. It's a meaningless act. It's programming. But it has a scientific basis. And I've been talking about this for some time that, look, you got a scientific basis for original sin, pseudoscientific. And, well, now you have the virus has actually kind of upped it quite a bit. So I've got quite a few other things I want to get into. So let me go ahead and move on to the next thing. I want to get back to something that was brought up briefly yesterday, Newsbenders. Okay, so Newsbenders is a play where a reporter, a journalist, finds out that the news is actually scripted decades in advance. So if you want to explain what the Metascript is to anybody, you just have to explain, well, the Metascript is essentially what the newsbenders have created. It's the overarching story that they're going to stick to and make everything else fit. It's the predetermined outcomes. Anyway, the movie Newsbenders, and I didn't catch this when I watched this play. You can find it on YouTube. I think the comments are blocked, which makes me want to re-upload it. I'm curious as to why they would block the comments. There's a clear reference to the Twin Towers in one of these scenes, and it's a fascinating thing to look at. But the term newsbenders actually relates quite a lot to what we're talking about when we're suggesting that the news is actually controlled at that high of a level, that it is in fact that sophisticated. It's that entrenched. In fact, I would say that was always the purpose of the media. You know, I've been talking about this idea of the monolithic worldview, that the media is the church of state, and that includes everything, even the sports media especially. It's like ball worship central. They love their Phoenician word magic. It'll get you into chanting the names and hypnotic states, the colors, the rituals, and people don't know what they're a part of. In fact, I was talking quite a lot earlier about the symbolism of Tebow and Kaepernick kneeling side by side as presented in the media. And someone showed me how they pointed out that the chariot card in the tarot has a black and white sphinx. And it's some kind of message about duality. But anyway, I'll go over this because there's some symbolism that just is worth pointing out. Now, here's something I called out a while ago. So today, and this relates to the carbon tax and Pope Elon. You know, I've been calling him Pope Elon, and this completely justifies what I've been saying. You see, because the Pope is the one, you know, the papacy are the ones, they sell indulgences. Oh, you can sin, you can get away with it, but you got to pay us a cut. And these are the ones with the keys to heaven. They're the ones who pray in front of the big obelisks, and that's what takes you into heaven, spiritually, points you the right way or whatever. But the new fangled obelisk physically can take you there, flies you up there. So here you have the richest man in the world with his Mars-ready rocket, which landed perfectly on the 19th anniversary of the company's founding. 19th anniversary, 19 AI, quite a lot of 19 in their cycles, which we can go into that number later, but let's. For the time being, this is what he tweeted. It's high time there was a carbon tax. Now, this is because, of course, Bitcoin isn't green and Bitcoin miners are going to destroy the planet and cause the globe to flood us. And you know what? By and large, I think the crypto community probably deserves it, insofar as they probably voted for Biden and the whole green agenda. I mean, I don't know how much it would have mattered anyway, if it makes a difference at this point. But I'm just saying, this is a scheme. This is selling indulgences. It's what popes are known for. So Elon Musk is here saying it's time to sell indulgences. Sure, the world's going to be destroyed if we keep on polluting and, you know, engaging in this type of wickedness, burning the dino juice way into the night. However, if there's enough money put into the system, it'll mitigate the globe's wrath. Fascinating that they take this. But anyway, here's what I wrote 3 years ago. 3 years ago, in the article called Pope Elon, I said, soon climate change will be engineered and exaggerated in order to gain compliance for increased governmental controls over the private sector and the private individual. Eco-fascist measures will allow the government to act as savior. Musk to send Ark to Mars and thus save humanity. The obelisk represents the sun god savior in the flesh, the Pope. The rocket is the obelisk of your Martian Pope. They may or may not precipitate actual climate catastrophe in order to cull the population to manageable numbers, in order to be corralled to the Mars and lunar colonies. So I left it open at the time. You know, I don't know if they're actually going to kill you all, but I know that the plan does involve exaggerating climate change, and that Pope Elon would be part of the solution here. So the entire article, of course, The Martian Pope, was published in 2017. Most of the stuff in this article I've probably already discussed here. I mentioned all of his connections to Von Braun. Talked about space communism. In fact, here's a Soviet children's book from 1965 where you see this thriving lunar colony. They have been idealizing space for some time, and especially these... it's like it's the new Marxist paradise. That's kind of the point. It says how Soviet artists imagined communist life in space. Artists, like there's any other kind. I mean, if you're in that environment, you're in a gulag. You could call it, what are you going to call it if you're under a dome? I mean, you're in a life support system. It's a prison. You can't go back. It's a one-way trip. It's a life sentence. You're quarantined forever. I mean, it's hard for me to paint it up in a positive light. And I think that's why they gave you the Jetsons. But anyway, artists from the Soviet Union didn't just imagine a workers' utopia on Earth. They also thought the great communist experiment would reach other worlds. Here are some incredible works of art and conceptual design that puts the Soviets in space. So again, this is all just kind of reiterating that this belief in the carbon footprint, this belief in this new version of sin, it's all part of the world cult, a cult of the obelisk, cult of the monolith. And he plays a very key role, as do all the space popes, in fact. Okay, let me go back to the voicemail. We were talking about Molech, the art, oh yeah, the god of recycling. Okay, here's another voicemail. Let's see if it plays this time.
Yeah, listen to his rhetoric. He uses his final speech on the floor in front of Congress, Senate floor, I'm pretty sure, exactly 1 week after he shot her, you know, didn't really shoot her, and then resigns a few days after that, right? Then, immediately upon Biden's election, he becomes the director of the Board of Public Engagement. Seems like somebody who'd be heading up a lot of these false flags. I don't know. Maybe you should look into it.
Okay.
I keep not being able to catch you live. Maybe I can call in tomorrow and we can talk a little bit about it. Because.
Okay, so let's see what he's discussing exactly. Okay, that's right. Baked Alaska. That's right. You know, a lot of these individuals who are live streaming, this is an important point. There's all this live stream going on at the Capitol during the so-called riot, which shows you it wasn't a riot. It was performance art. It was a lame party, but it was not a riot. And it turns out that there are all kinds of cameras all over that place. And for some reason, it's not being released to the public. Not quite sure why, but somebody doesn't want us to see the 14,000 hours of footage that we should be able to see. But, you know, if we really had full coverage of it start to finish, we would see that it's all just theater, that Babbitt didn't die. I realize that they've tried to make her into something of a martyr. Okay, now, hey, there's something else I wanted to talk about, and this is it's just because it's timely. You know, I was just looking to see if there's any news about Isaac Cappy, and specifically because it's the second anniversary of his death at the age of 42, where he was supposedly, he forced himself off a bridge, if that makes any sense. And so I've looked at the different accounts of it, and I remember the year before last when it happened, we were looking at the footage that came out from a military police or military patrol dash cam footage. And the thing about the dash cam footage is that it shows what appears to be Isaac Cappy. Although he looks CGI, it looks inserted, it looks two-dimensional. It looks like MS Paint. It's not consistent with the rest of the scene. And I've heard various explanations as to why this would be so, but I've never seen anything comparable. Like, it's not a common phenomenon that's observed. Like, oh yeah, if you have dash cam footage, people on the side look like cartoons. No, I don't think that explanation holds. So, I'm already immediately skeptical about it because he's one of the main pushers of the QAnon scenario, the theory that the elite are whatever QAnon says that they are. So he's one of the main ones who gave it credibility because he was able to actually name some names. But now listen to this, because I kind of dismissed it as a hoaxed death. I even looked at the body cam footage from the police, and it all seemed very phony. They didn't seem professional. There was too much laughing and joking around, which I don't think you would laugh in such a situation. But so listen to this. This is some of the analysis. And again, this was from May 13th, 2019, is when this video clip was taken. But here's what someone said about it. The raw video of Isaac Cappy on the bridge he jumped from. After extensive forensics, I have come to the conclusion this is real and not CGI. The distortion is from a wide-angle lens out a windshield. I viewed it through my 40-inch TV monitor, and you can see him sitting, and then he comes around, and you can actually see him move forward a bit. So that's what he says. This person says that, it's just a distortion, has to do with the windshield and the wide angle. So I'm open to that. But then there's more. So then you have the actual pictures that are purported to be autopsy pictures, or rather crime scene pictures, or death scene pictures, whatever it is, because some people think that Tom and Chet Hanks threw him off a bridge, which is the theory that I'm starting to favor at this time. Yeah, a little background on that point. So he had apparently fingered Tom Hanks as the main hot dog Pizzagate trafficker among Hollywood, like head honcho, blood drinker, just totally depraved. And shortly after, Tom Hanks went out to Route 66, which is the road that Cappy dies on, and he photographs a bit of a roadkill or something, and a glove, and a bottle cap. And it was exactly 42 days before the guy's death, at the age of 42. So they think it means, oh, look, he's calling it out. The glove on the ground means the glove has been dropped, or dropped at his feet, so that's like a sign that, okay, gloves off, and then the cap is Cappy, and then roadkill. So it sounds like it was a hit or something. Now, people are commenting about the looks of the video here. Joe Mama says the top of the body is a lot longer than the bottom. Yeah, there's a problem with that too. I see the same thing, this proportions. Lean Dion says it looks like a mannequin. Right. Many have said it looks like a mannequin. The proportions are wrong. It looks like, honestly, it looks like one of the memes that I would make. A cheap crop and drop where you just kind of you cut around the edges and then you just throw it on there and you slightly up the transparency so it kind of literally blends in and it looks like it's part of the picture. It looks like a cheap job. Like, I'm not sold on it. The pants are glowing too white. There's no shading in there. It's problematic to say in the least. So there's a few theories about it. So one theory is that he told the truth about QAnon and he had to go witness protection program. So they have this elaborate staged suicide and note where he apparently jumps off a bridge, which is 22 feet. I mean, what a place to jump. Anyway. One story is that that's all faked, and that the footage afterward was faked, and that he's actually gone into witness protection. And that would explain this. The other side of it is that it's fake because QAnon is fake, and the deep state is fake, and all that is fake, which was the camp that I've been in this whole time. That he's out there hanging out with George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, Epstein, and probably Nipsey, and just. The whole list of death fakers. They go to Death Faker Island. Maybe it's that continent we're not supposed to know about. The one that I've, well, I don't know for a fact it's there. But if Sturgio Studios 10 has a a grasp on what he's doing, if what he's correlating regarding the land masses above, rather the land masses and the craters above on the moon, if there's any veracity to that, then there's a bunch of land hidden within the area that is still defined by the globe. So flat or not, it seems to be that hidden land is still a major thing here. It's a big part of this game. And that alone would explain a lot of the fakery with the ISS, because they have to consistently misrepresent this place to keep certain things conveniently hidden. So anyway, let's go back to the Cappy thing. So I took the trouble, I read the reports, the eyewitness reports, the handwritten eyewitness reports. Phoenix Enigma put a lot of research into this, put it all together in one place. And I looked at the photos. I found them on archive.org, and I don't recommend it. And I wouldn't put them on the screen. But I looked at the photos, and it's one of two things, okay? So, the thing is, it's fakeable. Before you accept something as real, when it comes to an extraordinary claim, and celebrity deaths, especially given the Pizzagate thing and connection, that would qualify as extraordinary. You have to ask, is it fakeable? So that's where I start. So looking at it, yeah, it's fakeable. I mean, and I was looking at these very closely, zooming in, zooming out, and it's not really that different though from special effects. And it got me thinking, you know how I've been talking about how there's been this transition from organic effects and props and miniatures to pure digital? How that transition represents, I believe, this concerted effort to train people to not recognize the difference, and moreover, for them to be accustomed to just seeing things in CGI when it comes to gore. So any sort of gore that you see, any sort of shock imagery that you see in the movies or the video games, it's going to be CGI. Nobody does it old school where they actually recreate these visceral, realistic effects. Nobody does that anymore. The fake blood and the, I mean, it's really grotesque when it comes down to it. Like, it's 100% fakeable, is what I'm saying. And I remember there was a particular underground guerrilla film company made these disgusting things, low budget. It was called Troma Films. I would never watch any of their garbage, but I've seen clips. And anyway, it turns out that someone in the comments had said, "Hey, this looks like a trauma prop," and I was looking at it, and yeah, it did look like one of their props when it comes to mannequins and, well, just gore in general, without getting explicit, because it is a really, I wouldn't recommend the pictures. So I'm just suggesting this. They look kind of real, very real, but it's 100% fakeable. So I'm like, well, let's just hypothetically go the other direction, and let's say that it's not fake. What does that mean? Because to me, this whole time, the hoaxy-ishness of it just kind of underscored the fakery behind, or rather the seeming, I don't know, psyopy nature of QAnon. It undermines the whole narrative. It makes it all seem like a LARP. But what if Cappy's really dead? Then what? What does it imply? Does it implicate Tom Hanks, Chet Hanks? Who, by the way, made threats to people who online talk about his family and their involvement in the Illuminati. And what's more, he said that he would literally sacrifice you, human sacrifices. So I'm like, okay, that's all bizarre. And then it gets even stranger, because someone else suggested, well, that was him, not a mannequin, but he was already dead. And they grotesquely propped him up there and then tossed him off. And like, that's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre horror movie type thinking. And it's quite possible, in which case Chet may actually have eaten Isaac Cappy's pineal gland or something. We wouldn't know, because they would have presumably have patched it up for the, final performance. I mean, I don't know. What do you all think? Lane Dion says, "I don't remember them being blood on the road." Now, that was the thing. From the body cam footage, you didn't see a whole lot. But the pictures that I found, you still don't see a whole lot. You have like this thick, ketchupy in its consistency puddle, like 18 inches away from him. And what's more, the heart defibrillators seem to be misplaced. But again, it could be, I mean, it's like I said, it's got to be. This is the thing. I want to get back to this point. So if we're acclimated to seeing gore or blood in the form of like CGI computer enhanced effects and not these more organic effects that look realer, then we might not be so ready to recognize something fake because it'll be so much realer by comparison. And I think this is like a an intentional thing. Joe Mama says weekend at Bernie's. Right. That's kind of what I'm thinking. That's like the darker interpretation of it. Anyway, if you have any comments on it, 833-311-1984, just bringing this up because it's the 2-year anniversary. I'll go through a few other points here. Now, a few people here say the complete opposite. Like I said, the description from the uploader is that no, this is real. I saw it on my big screen. Right, because the bigger the screen. But others are saying, try sitting on the edge of your couch that way. You wouldn't be able to. Someone says, this is Anna, says, I think he's already dead and propped up. Or mannequin. Someone else says his hands look tied. Someone else suggested too that he looks cyanotic, blue in the hands and face, that he's already dead. And a lot of people arrived at this, that he was already dead, which is kind of fascinating. Now, listen to this comment, which is particularly ominous. It says, I have the pictures of him laying here. There's just not enough blood for him to have been alive and jumped. That was one of the things that I had concluded. I said, there's just not enough blood. There's no seepage. There's no leakage down the street. So is it possible that he was killed somewhere else? By Tom Hanks and Chet Hanks, I mean, hypothetically. After finding and reading all the research, he was definitely being held against his will in his last video, says Mallory. He blinks twice when a viewer slash fan asked him if he is in duress. Someone had punched holes in his walls as if there was a struggle or they were putting fear into him. I believe his landlord was a part of it this whole time and his neighbor, and he didn't stand a chance of survival. The more he dug in, the more they went after him. If this is real and not fake, which now it's coming to look more real, it would imply he was set up from the moment he moved into his home. Fascinating take there too. So I took the time to watch a number of his videos, and I found him to be rather on point with regards to his criticism of the media and its role in subverting the population and specifically brainwashing us with subliminals. And you'd think they don't do subliminals. I mean, think about this. They've been faking stuff for generations. So you think they have any ethics against subliminals? No way. No way. I'm starting to think now that Eyes Wide Shut, and I brought this up last night, you know, there are three important movies that took place that came out in 2001, and they're all movies. Vanilla Sky came out 33 days after September the 11th, another movie, and Eyes Wide Shut. Those three movies tell a very important story, and it has to do with this masking and this idea of what Eyes Wide Shut is actually implying. And what I think it's implying is that our subconscious is Eyes Wide Shut. It doesn't have a mouth. It doesn't speak the same way. It just takes in. And I'm always reminded of A Clockwork Orange and the image of the a protagonist having his eyes propped open and he's being fed footage, violence and stuff. So I'm thinking maybe we're quite literally being programmed through the monolith, like on a subliminal level. And the more I look at the subliminals, and there is undoubtedly a connection between the scenes in these various movies. A lot of them are very shocking horror movies. I mean, The Shining is a horrible movie. Maybe that's part of the mind control. You know, horrifying you, the terror when they implant the images, which will be called upon later. So, in other words, according to this theory, the idea that there's some kind of subliminal programming or suggestions or hints, The Shining was psychologically preparing us to witness Flight 175 hit the tower. The twin, it was preparing us for 9/11, in specifics. So, in other words, Your associations were watching a couple innocent twins gutted with an axe by their own father in the hallway. I mean, gory stuff. Incomprehensibly shocking. So I kind of think that, yeah, the meta scripters are using MK Ultra, and I think that they're programming us in that way. I mean, it's just a theory, but we'll see. You know, but I think it's almost self-evident at this point. Lean Dion says, back masking in the music too, messages in reverse. Remember when Obama used to say, thank you, Satan? What was it he said he was saying? I think he was saying, yes, we can, but backwards it was, thank you, Satan. Let's go ahead and get some of that audio. Let's see. Yes, we can. Thank you, Satan. All right, here we go. And this is Obama during his election speech.
Then it happens. And if they are disaffected and cynical and fearful and told that it can't be done, then it doesn't. I'm running for president because I want to tell them.
Okay, this is during the New Hampshire debate, rather.
Thank you, Satan. And that's why I think they're responding in such large numbers. Because I want to tell them, thank you, Satan. And because I want to tell them, thank you, Satan.
Yeah, I would say that's a good example of backmasking. Does anybody think that that's just a coincidence? Knockout says it's to desensitize us to violence. They want the crowd spectating guillotines again. That's hard to deny. There's something very Running Man about the situation, especially last year's quite, it's like the game show host, president, everything's in chaos, but people are distracted by the television. Running, let me bring that one up because we were talking about that one. I think that was a movie from, was it 1987? Okay, here we go. Running Man 1987. So 2020 was its 33rd year. It was just one of these movies we talked about. In a dystopian America, imagine that. A falsely convicted policeman gets shot when he must forcibly participate in a TV game show where convicts and runners battle for their freedom. All of these movies, though, contain heavy dosages of this predictive programming. They load you up with it. Like, it's like a, I think that programming is the right word. And we're following along with the program, more or less. And it's the patterns, it's the rhyming, it's just the obvious scripting that we're always pointing out. So let's go ahead and get back on to, what we were talking about before, Cappy. So here we have Isaac Cappy again, 42-year-old, 42 days after this ominous threat. Now, I don't know, do we want to call that a threat? You know, it's very, very, well, we've got Chet Hanks responding to the threats. Let me go ahead and play this first.
About is fucking disgusting. Look, I get it. I question everything and I don't fucking.
Actually, that's Chet. I'm gonna turn the speed up a little bit. This guy's hard to listen to, but he shows off his Illuminati tattoo and wonders why people.
You know, being in the, you know what I'm talking about? And I don't know what to do right now because everything's starting to come to light. I mean, these extremely reliable websites like 4chan, 8chan have been exposing shit. And it's like if somebody wrote it on the internet, you know it must be true. And it is true. So it's like, I don't know how this is going to affect our whole New World agenda. Ever since The Simpsons predicted my dad being the spokesperson for the coronavirus, even though they didn't predict anything, it's been troublesome, to say the least. I guess I'm just going to have to work extra hard at my human
So is he, oh yeah, he says, I have to work extra hard at my human sacrifice. So I want to know, and should we be playing this backward? Is there a backward function, like a backmasking function on YouTube?
I guess I'm just gonna have to work extra hard at my human sacrifices. I'm
I'm just gonna have to work extra hard at my human sacrifices. Now, his condescending tone and his attempts at irony and sarcasm make you think he's not being serious, but when you look in his dilated pupils, tell me that he's not high on adrenochrome.
To say the least, I guess I'm just gonna have to work extra hard at my human sacrifices. I'm late for one right now, and I'm a
He's probably talking about Isaac Cappy. Yeah, exactly. Mary Smith says, "How dare you accuse me of what I'm about to say?" He should have just showed off all his tattoos, like beyond just the all-seeing eye. He's got the coronaviruses and the medical symbol. I heard he's got a tramp stamp of Dr. Fauci, but I didn't look. If anybody wants to look and do a screen cap, you know, be my guest. Lickety Split says he looks like a warlock. Right, I would say so. He actually looks like he's wearing a rubber chest suit. And they actually have those. Like, if you don't want to go to the gym, just you can just buy. It's basically like wearing a sweater, like a thick sweater, but it's muscles. And it looks real. Nobody would know, especially with social distancing. Okay, let's move on. We're talking about Isaac Cappy and how fake this video looks, and I was analyzing some of the comments here. Okay, so yeah, there's somewhere they said that two people try to stop him. I'm not sure if that's true. Okay, Ronnie Davies here says, number one, any military or law enforcement or EMT driving by a human sitting on a bridge would stop right away to make sure they were okay. Second, I know he was skinny, but this is ridiculous because obviously it looks like a Rubbermaid doll in a sitting position. Agreed. Agreed. I'm starting to think mannequin or just straight CGI. I'm not sure which yet. What do you think here? Anybody in the comment section? And if you have any personal insight into this thing, feel free to call in. Anna again says he's either dead, propped up, or it's a mannequin. Yeah, for some reason, the theory of him being already dead and propped up is oddly compelling to me. It seems like it could be the case. All right, let us see what else we have. We have a few other things related to this. This is, again, the Cappy thing. A couple of things that didn't quite make sense. So it says the tread pattern on the body does not match up with any visible signs of impact on the F-150. So I didn't know this, but it was an F-150. I just read it was a red truck. So apparently the tread patterns don't match. It says the bleeding and wounds do not match the report. The defibrillator pads are mounted incorrectly, as can be seen from the visible instructions. And that is something that I noted, that you had two different pads. One was like on his chest and the other one was like on his belly. And I'm like, what are they doing? Seemed kind of hoaxy. So again, we're just kind of going over some of these discrepancies that people had noticed. All right, let me move on. We're talking about Isaac Cappy. If you have any insights into this case, feel free to comment. And I want to get back to a few other things as well. But I have something here. This is actually one of his videos. I kind of want to talk about this too. There's more. Here it is. The clothing worn does not match the image of Cappy on the overpass. Yeah, that's another point. The clothing worn. Well, he was wearing white pants. They were just snipped. But the shirt doesn't really seem to match. And it says, this was obtained at the request of Monkey Savant, but it was sent to Phoenix Enigma instead, and the belt was inside out. That's strange, too. Finally, on the photos, there's metadata, shows a Nikon Coolpix A10, and the date is November 30th, 12 a.m. Creation date is August 17th, 2019, although the file name says July 17th, 2019. So there's just many inconsistencies with the gory photography. But I think that just looking at the gory photography, a lot of people would just be thrown off. Now I'm thinking here, it's really kind of looks like a film prop head. The lack of blood they're explaining away is that he was already dead before they propped him up, which would be a very tricky thing to pull off. Now, there are some things that lend some credibility to his narrative. And I don't know if it necessarily means anything for QAnon and what they've been saying this whole time. But one of the things he talks about is Corey Feldman, who he calls controlled opposition, which I found to be interesting.
What about Feldman? What about Corey? Like, he's saying, like, I'm like, leave him alone. He's you know, he's been through enough. But that all changed, okay? That all changed because Corey's coming at me. Corey Feldman, you are fake news and you protect pedophiles.
So that's an odd twist, is it not? And I always thought that was strange that Corey would get all dolled up, get on TV, and make these bold claims, but then he would never drop the names that would matter. He would never bring it all down. And, I'm like, is this just a ploy? What is he protecting? Is he controlled opposition? Is he seeing who else will go along with the, revealing it? Is he secretly part of the vampire cult? Okay, so anyway, this is interesting stuff here. I would also say that there's some points Henry makes about media and subliminal programming that I think is kind of coherent.
And honored to be able to serve all of you and the world. This is great. I love it. What's up, UK? No hard.
And all kinds of stuff here, though, just this kind of a savior complex, and I'll read his letter.
Use you, abuse you, make you sick.
Well, anyway, I kind of find him hard to listen to because another question I ask myself is, why is he reporting to Instagram and not the police? That's a major inconsistency as well. So I'm just not finding it very high on the believability scale. I don't know about any of you. And it's all intricately tied in with the QAnon. That's another problem. Commenter says it sounds like a game for the mall. Very sensational with name drops. Well, look, this was something else too, though. I remember being told before the lockdowns, QAnoners were saying that there was going to be martial law, that Trump's going to declare it, and just stay home and just watch TV because they're going to round up the bad guys and drain the swamp. So that was supposed to have been happening. And they said, don't go running around looking at empty hospitals because the deep state is being taken out by the white hats. And I think this was one of the secret meetings behind Kyle Rittenhouse. Remember Kyle Rittenhouse, front row seats at a Trump rally wearing a white hat. Who wears a white hat at a MAGA rally? MAGA, by the way, means, well, it's the feminine form of magus. So don't know if it means anything, although you could make some connections with a scarlet hat, MAGA. But anyway, he's got this white hat. And I'm like, well, that's weird. White hat. That's like a QAnon reference. Later, he surfaces over there in Kenosha. 17-year-old, another Q call out. And so Kyle beats back the mobs at Kenosha and conveniently doesn't kill anybody that would be politically explosive. The people he killed are hard to feel sorry for. And even those are very questionable deaths. So, for example, the skateboarder was friends with Jacob Blake, the one who was shot by the police officer 7 times. So it's like, wait, that's just too many people too close to the central plot points, in one place at one time. And then you have Gage Grosskreutz. I still don't know if it's true, if that was a real shooting or if that was a squib. I'm still leaning towards squib, just based on the unreliable nature of everything else about this and the reporting that went into it. I've been waiting. It's like, is somebody going to go investigate that? Has he come out to show the recovery of his arm? I think there was an episode of South Pole where he sold his arm to a black market underground like meat company or deli or something in Kenosha. All right, let us continue. Corey Feldman, anyway. So this is just again, Isaac Cappy. I find it hard to believe. And then, of course, the death scene, very unbelievable. Okay, so Sheriff of YouTube says, pure street theater, made for YouTube production. I agree. Seems like that anyway. Okay, someone else here says, I slowed it down to 0.25 and I stopped it when he was last visible. What is up with his legs? His hands and his face are blue. He looks superimposed. The leg shadow and the shoe looks stuck on. And it's rare that people could sit in a form like that. Another one says, it's weird. It doesn't look like he's real or he's dead or he's drugged up. Yep, someone else says, it looks so fake. Look at those shoes. The music makes it more obvious. Yeah, it's a dash cam with some really bad music playing. And I think that would kind of give it away as a hoax. Someone else suggests it's a hologram. staged. He's not dead. No consensus, though. So here we are 2 years later, and I was just kind of surprised that there weren't more news stories about Cappy. The last time Isaac Cappy was in the news, he was brought up by Lynn Wood. Now, here's an interesting connection. Lynn Wood was the attorney who first stood up on behalf of Kenosha Kyle. And Lynn Wood brought him up recently. Here we go. So Lynn Wood claims Cappy was murdered when he tried to. Here we go. Lynn Wood claims that the actor Isaac Cappy knew all of the evidence. These claims made by Wood on his Twitter account closely align. Let me bring this up. This is from Distractify. Again, this is Lynn Wood says, after Cappy received the hacked files from a member of the Lizard Squad, he gave the files to one friend and the encryption key to another friend. He provided this information to his friends shortly before he was murdered, May 13th, 2019. Members of the Lizard Squad were jailed for hacking. So this is in January at 2:30 in the morning, before he was kicked off of Twitter. Lynn Wood, again, who represented Kyle for a minute there, collected a lot of money in Kyle's name, I believe. He's implying that the Lizard Squad, which I believe is some kind of a euphemistic way of referencing the adrenochrome junkies or drinkers. Let me bring this up really quick. The terrifying reason we're talking about the Lizard Squad again, Lynn Wood shared earth-shattering information about a cabal of intelligence officers from 10 of the world's most well-known and elite agencies, whose mission is to blackmail powerful people by forcing them to do bad things at gunpoint. In Woods' telling, they film the activity and they store the tapes in a blackmail vault. Tapes. Once properly blackmailed, the conspiracy goes, the cabal puts the victims into positions of power. This can be anything from placing them high up in politics or, man, this is fascinating. This is all really fascinating. We've all heard this stuff before. It's all just a conspiracy theory, more or less. Anyway, says Wood, who's perhaps best known for representing Kenosha Kyle, has expressed outlandish things before. He had once said, quote, I might actually be Christ coming back for the second time in the form of an imperfect man, elevating Christ consciousness. Does that give you a chill? Who would be more eloquent to say what the will of God is than me? Fascinating. Further, Wood, in a taped conversation, which was part of a litigation between him and his former law partner, said, quote, I represent Moses. I am like the power of King David. I told you I was going to pray to. This is insane, I have to say. But this is not going away. This is more or less, I believe, the Lizard Squad is more or less what he and Cappy are referring to here, or what they've all been talking about. Not literally the Wizard Squad. I guess it's just a convenient euphemism. But listen to this. This is what Cappy actually said. So he gave this apology slash suicide note on his way out the door. And he said here, to the Q movement, I am so sorry that I have brought shame upon the greatest military operation of all time. Q said they give people enough rope to hang themselves, and I've hung myself, I admit. I've told the people in the Trump administration that I'm willing to admit to my crimes in a public setting and be committed to execution publicly. To those I inspired, keep up the fight. So in his like parting note message here, he talks about QAnon being the greatest military operation of all time, and that he's ready to come out and admit that he was part of the club, and that's why he was taking himself out. Interesting story. Cool story, bro. What do you all think about this? Because more recently, Lynn Wood has been using Isaac Cappy as something of a martyr. In fact, he's like, they killed Cappy. Let's hang so and so. I think he was threatening the vice president. Commenter says Lizard Squad is real. Knockout parents saw them. Well, I think Lizard Squad, you know, refers to, of course, the Pizza Gators, is what I tend to call them. And speaking of Pizza Gators, you know, Matt Gaetz is going to prison is actually trending right now. And I did find some inconvenient things. Matt Gaetz getting into trouble over a 17-year-old, which is something of an irony, just, you know, because he's one of the main promulgators of the QAnon narrative. And what stands out about this one is that usually anybody connected to child trafficking is immediately considered to be part of the swamp that has to be drained. But when one of their own is involved in child trafficking, ordering them like Uber Eats with his Venmo, they suddenly don't notice, or they don't want to comment on it. They don't want to consign him to Gitmo or executions or anything. Just strange. A few other things I want to go through here. I have a few links I've set aside. You know, I've been tweeting this thing, like, another day, another vax, feeling fine. I've just been suggesting that I'm getting a daily vax, like, every day. And it really does seem to trigger a lot of people. People don't like hearing that. They do think it's a self, and like it's a death sentence. They have bought into Vaxageddon. And I'm still, you know, I'm a skeptic with all the stuff here. And I feel like if it has a doomsday at the end of it, it's probably a hoax. It's a safe bet. Someone sent me this today. This is a bomb going off in one of the towers. Probably a squib. You know, the jumpers, the 9/11 jumpers? We figured it out. It's all squibs. Lickety Split says Matt Gaetz is a good Republican. Well, his friend is being indicted for 33 counts of child trafficking. I think his name is Greenberg. Like, 33. Like, that is another one that makes me think, okay, it's probably a hoax, but let me bring up, just so you know, what they published, because it's more than likely fake. Matt Gaetz's wingman, Joel Greenberg, pleaded not guilty to all charges on a 33-count indictment. So 33 federal charges, including sex trafficking. Best buddies with Matt Gaetz. And yet the QAnoners refuse to throw Matt Gaetz under the bus. Is anybody following the drama in Arizona? Former President Trump releases new statement. There's some people who would argue with that. President Trump releases a new statement on missing databases and other irregularities uncovered in the audit here in Arizona. This is getting messed up. So basically, he put out a letter saying the fake news and lamestream media is doing everything they can to not cover this story. They don't want the United States or world to see what's going on with our corrupt third world election. So Trump's coming out just saying that this thing's not over yet. And I pointed this out yesterday. I said, look, QAnon, who actually runs George News, and I posted a blog about this, to a live audience, and this guy has 250,000 subs in the aggregate, maybe more. So QAnon is actually saying here in these statements to his subscribers that there's going to be a flood after Arizona. These are his words, and this is QAnon. That's the main thing here, is that we're looking at the closest person to Trump that believes in QAnon and pushes that whole theory is actually the guy that runs George News. And he has been saying, quote, that there is a flood that's going to come after the Arizona recount. So let me get back to this, though. So you may not take this seriously. Here's a short clip from the Arizona Republican Party.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America's Audit Update from the Republican Party of Arizona. I am your chairwoman, Dr. Kelly Ward. We have some extremely important and breaking news this morning coming directly from the Arizona Senate, which is conducting the forensic audit of some 2.1 million ballots cast in the 2020 election. Arizona Senate President Karen Fann, in a stinging letter to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, has outlined serious discrepancies and irregularities.
Okay, serious discrepancies. Now, look at the comments. I read these earlier. Kathleen McDonald says, just released the NASARA, President Trump. So NASARA is the National Economic Security and Recovery Act, a set of proposed reforms. And NASARA is supposedly going to give everybody free money, basically. It's some kind of redistribution of wealth. Oh, not redistribution, just distribution. It's just going to fall down. It's just going to go to everybody. And that's something that's going to be brought with Trump's help. Maureen says, reclaim what is rightfully yours and return this country to the pre-Biden days. Jim Hightower says, Marlene, you're correct. The flights to Gitmo and other detention centers would show that these things are packed full. Gloria says, fake Biden is not president and never has been. President Trump is the only legitimate president. Sam says, thank you, God, for making Trump our president. He still is our president. God always wins. And these are just within the last few hours. So there are many people who believe that it's about to be overturned. And I'm just pointing out that QAnon himself is actually stoking their hopes here, giving them doses of very potent doses of hopium. I don't know what's at the end of it. Is it just bad hopium? Is it just keeping them addicted so that they vote in 2024? Or is something going to happen? Lickety said, Michigan's going to do a recount. The white hats are there. I have not heard that, but again, QAnon said there's going to be a flood. Now, is it too late? The same individuals are the ones who suggest that maybe this whole thing has just been a show the entire time. And that's one of the things that has been constantly said, one of the refrains of the QAnoners, is that you're just going to be seeing a movie for a period of time while they deal with it. So this is back to Distractify. Lynn Wood claims that the late actor Isaac Happy knew of this evidence. These claims align with the conspiracies popularized by QAnon that claim that most of the country's elite are part of a secret pedophile blackmail society and that they send subliminal messages to people through art, music, and other mediums. Well, that's true. At a minimum, that's true. Blackmail? I don't know if you have to blackmail people. You know, I think people are so cheap. They sell their soul. I mean, you probably just pay them. No need to blackmail. These conspiracies have long since been debunked, according to Distractify. In the thread of his tweets, Wood claims that Isaac Cappy knew of all these tapes and that his suicide was not as it seemed. The day before his suicide, he made a lengthy post on Instagram claiming, quote, I have recently been made to believe that I am the reincarnation of Judas Iscariot, the great betrayer. Now that's odd, but it fits with Lynn Wood being Moses, right? And the second coming of Jesus. Woods goes so far as to claim Cappy's death was not an accident, and he even looped Epstein into this. There's no evidence to back these claims. Woods claims he's going to release the evidence, which is en route, supposedly, but we're not holding our breath. And this was months ago. So who's the Lizard Squad? The Lizard Squad is actually a hacking group famous for many DDoS attacks. Okay, so it wasn't just a euphemism for the reptoids. That's what I thought it was. I thought they didn't want to just say reptoids or something. Lickety Split says, Liz Cheney makes me think that Q is real. No, Q is real. He is. It's just a question, is he lying or not? QAnon, as mundane as this sounds, is a Kiwi. He's an actor. He played body double role for the Red Power Ranger. He was in Fast and the Furious, King Kong, Shortland Street. He played the role of Mr. Larson. And he has many uncredited roles, like Lord of the Rings, among others. So he's a well-known actor. Worked on Xena the Warrior Princess, oddly enough, Flat Earth Productions. He co-produced something called My Awakening with Eric Dubay, and he's done some other things on Amazon. But he works for PayPal. I mean, I get these horrible companies all mixed up. He works for YouTube behind the scenes. He's the reason why the David Hogg conspiracy theory trended. Anyway, this individual is QAnon. We have a number of ways of verifying this. It's just a matter of time until the media points it out. Or maybe they don't want to, because the only people who've noticed this and put it together are those of us who are really calling into question their integrity. But anyway, let us continue. So the Lizard Squad is a group of hackers that was active mostly between 2014 and 2015 and disbanded. They don't have any known connection to any of the claims made by Lynn Wood. So he kind of just pieced it together, possibly. But listen to some of the things that Lynn Wood said. Although a lot of people say this, and I kept hearing this, there's no way he lies. He's a defamation lawyer. As though being a defamation lawyer means that his words are unimpeachable, like he knows better than to say something. And I don't think that's the case. So Lynn Wood says, I believe Chief Justice John Roberts and a multitude of powerful individuals worldwide are blackmailed in a horrendous scheme that involves bad things on videotape. I have the key to the files containing the video. I have shared this information. Now, this was January the 4th. So why didn't this get released before? He says, again, 10 intelligence agencies, copies of this went to Isaac Cappy. He says the blackmail targets are approached with a gun and a camera and a child, and they're ordered to do something at gunpoint. This is absurd, honestly. I think you ripped that off from the Franklin cover-up documentary. Okay, so anyway, does anybody here want to call in? I see some people here think Q is real. If you think Q is real and there's anything at all to it, you know, I got this tweet today from somebody. It was, I think it was Kennedy. It was a poster from JFK, and it said something like, it wasn't Make America Great Again, but it was something about greatness. And it was retweeted by somebody about greatness making a comeback. Like, there's a whole mythology here. And I'm calling it mythology at the moment because it all does actually tie into this thing with Kubrick, funnily enough, with the Kennedys. And the mythology is this. The Great Awakening comes or happens when QAnon drops the docs on everybody. Just everything comes out all at once. And when that happens, we're going to see a few people come back from the dead. I think it's Michael Jackson is actually one of them. So in this storyline, in this version of the universe, Michael Jackson was actually trying to protect the children from the Illuminati. That's why they slandered him and they attacked him and made him seem like the bad guy. So he fakes his death and he's going to come back along with JFK Jr., Princess Diana, I think Tupac, and Donald Trump to that list, UFOs, free energy. And yes, there is a story about Hunter S. Thompson being involved in all this stuff, right? In the Franklin cover-up, in actually filming the murders. I see a comment here points this out. So the Franklin cover-up talks about the same thing. It says that the politicians are all blackmailed, and they're creating these horrible snuff videos. And Hunter S. Thompson's a cameraman, which sounds insane. Why would he be involved? But then you look at the role that he plays, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and the movie in particular, and how they shined a light on this adrenochrome thing. In fact, in that movie, he saw reptoids, didn't he? The lizard people. But again, Hunter S. Thompson is right there in that movie as Johnny Depp drinking adrenochrome. I think he bought it from some Satanist or something. So that's kind of a strange connection. Right. So anyway, these are all just allegations. Are they true? I don't know. I want to point this out again. I mentioned this last night, a couple of the details. So I was looking at this symbol of global citizen. I was watching Vax Live, which is hilarious. You got to fast forward to the part where Selena Gomez cries and tells you to get a vax. She literally cries. It's great. So global citizen, when you're watching this whole thing, and it's long, it's worth watching. It's you keep see that you see this word at the bottom, and it says ball citizen, and it's next to the letter O, which is obviously showing you an eclipse and a corona. So it's a Vax Live event, and it looks like it says ball citizen with a corona, which is kind of interesting. But beyond that, there's a corona design on the ceiling. Also, just something I've been pointing out that, this is a very long, drawn out, protracted ritual. But I'm looking at the O, which creates the ring of fire. And it just so happens that we have a ring of fire eclipse coming up. So I'm not sure what to expect, but I think something is probably being coordinated around this. This is from MarthaStewart.com. A ring of fire solar eclipse will be visible this June. Look to the sky on June 10th. So again, ring of fire, corona. In fact, when you look at the movie 2001 Space Odyssey, the very opening scene with the monolith, you actually have the eclipse right above the monolith, and it creates that corona, a very famous image. And last night we were talking about the overlaps between 1968 and 2020. One of the ones I neglected to mention last night was the 87 or more monoliths that just appeared mysteriously all over the world. So anyway, opening scene, you have the corona right there. Donnie Darko, that movie, which has a ton of symbolism suggesting or foreshadowing Trump. I brought this up yesterday. There's a scene where Donnie Darko and Darko, some suggest that the O is actually referencing this corona. It's just sort of the subtext here. But one of the scenes has Donnie Darko with a sweater that says Triumph watching a football game, and the jersey on the screen is 17. Others have said that, well, you take the name Triumph, take the I out, and you take the H out, and it's like, okay, well, take those two letters out, they add to 17. H is 8, I is 9, and you're left with Trump. So in two ways, you get Donnie Trump 17. Big Q reference. And then a few scenes later, Donnie Darko burns down the house of this individual, turns out to be running a child pornography, child trafficking ring. So he kind of does the QAnon draining of the swamp routine. Going through some comments. We do a little trolling. I think there's something wrong with your syntax or your translator. I have a feeling it's a very funny troll, but I don't know. I see a mix of can somebody translate that for me? I can read part of it. It says Peter Griffin goes radical Islamic. What does that even mean? Feel free to call in 833-311-1984. So we're talking about lizard people, Isaac Cappy, Lynn Wood, Kenosha Kyle, and the people who believe that we're about to have some major event unfold where we're all given free money, Nasara, and the Mark of the Beast. So here's what it is. This is from a book on this on the subject. It says, have you ever heard of the National Economic Stabilization and Recovery Act written in the 70s? So it says here, it's a new financial system being released to the world. It's called Jasara. It will pull us away from a fiat currency into a gold-backed currency that will bring about freedom and a lack of debt. So apparently, the mark of the beast may not be a bad thing, and it's actually connected to this age of freedom that's to come. And it's called Nisara or Jasara. Just a little bit of QAnon hopium for you. Italian American activist group rips into SNL's Wario skit. I don't know if you saw this, but Elon Musk came out waddling, portraying a very convincing Wario. I didn't see anything sinister about this. I was watching it, just kind of in awe that this actually gets on TV. It's the best they can do. But anyway, it's offended some Italian American activist group because of his portrayal of Italian Americans. And at the end of it, though, he says he's Japanese, so I'm sure that he's offended Asians as well. I'm not sure. Italian American activist group rips into SNL Wario skit. The NIAF slammed the portrayal of an Italian accented villain from Nintendo's Super Mario Brothers in a statement. They said this was this is bad. Actually, they're really going full. They're basically going to call him racist, I think. In an era of ethnic sensitivity to racial and ethnic stereotyping, SNL's sophomoric Wario skit demonstrates a profound double standard that continues to exist when it comes to acceptable caricatures of Italians in popular culture. In the skit, Wario takes the stand after being accused of murdering Mario. At one point, he eats garlic. See, I didn't know eating garlic was a thing. I figured it was like a vamp. I don't know what it was, actually, now that I think about it. Governor Cuomo says, please don't believe. Now, Cuomo was in it. They actually put Governor Cuomo in one of the skits. He says, please don't believe the horrible stereotypes you see in Mario World. Some of the bad guys are even called Goombas, he added, referring to the mushroom-shaped enemies in the video game. Okay, anyway, not sure what to make of all this. People get triggered by everything. Cancel everything. Adaptivia says Elon is evil. Elon is the Starman, Mr. Satan by anagram. I don't think it's a coincidence that the so-called Chinese space junk fell at 10:24. And, I mean, 6 minutes before he hit the stage, it would have been if you're watching, 6 minutes before he hits the stage at 11:30, so 11:24, it's like, wait a minute. Space junk lands, and then the leading cause of space junk today takes the stage. I'm not sure what they're doing with him. Ivar says, are mushrooms offended? Apparently Grimes is in trouble with all of her fans for having taken part in the whole thing. Which I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know, I mean, I think it probably had some genuinely funny moments. I'm not really sure. You know, it's like you kind of half watch it and you hear a laugh track, but it doesn't necessarily mean it was all that funny. They haven't been funny in a long time, as far as I've heard. But we were just looking to see, you know, what is it going to do? You know, what are they going to do with this reckless pump and dump scheming with the cryptocurrency, you know, attached to this cult of celebrity? And the people who believe in this cult, who follow this thing, are quite likely going to follow them to Mars, where a lot of them will probably die. I found this on Reddit. This is a collection of all of your health ministers around the world. And this is insane. It's like you're an alien from some other place. You arrive here and, you know, you're like, well, I'm going to go talk to the healthiest people here so we can help the humans live longer and better. This is what they're going to see. I'm still convinced that Maggie the Block is a costume. You know, I'm not sure who's behind it, who's wearing it, and it's anybody's guess. But the rest of these ghouls, I mean, what are we looking at? It reminds me of that Clive Barker movie, Nightbreed. I was looking at a Clive Barker because someone mentioned it in a call the other night. You know, it's worth noting here how consistent the predictive programming is no matter where you're looking. Television, movies, news, comic books, graphic novels, video games. It's very consistent and it's literally everywhere. Oh, Elon Musk is here. He says, I almost don't want to read that. Okay, I don't know if that even makes any sense. I'd like you to call in and actually read that statement for yourself. He says he did something in his spaceship and ate it. And beyond that, I don't know. No, I want you to call in if this is indeed Elon Musk, 833-311-1984. So anyway, apparently though, Grimes, so she's at this after party with SNL. And the South Pole guys come over, or South Park guys come over. I don't know what happened, but she was so traumatized by it that she had to go to the hospital. Elon Musk says he hasn't paid his phone bill. They never do call in. Hey, check this one out. People are returning to normal, cut off the gas. I kind of predicted this in a way. I was like, wait until people start forgetting about COVID and the masks because people have very short attention spans, very short. And I've been predicting, though, that the next thing to replace COVID, and it sounds kind of far-fetched at the moment, it's going to be space junk. Space junk is the new COVID. And the fact that that piece came from China has been taken as a provocation by many. There are many who are inclined to think that the virus is real and it came from a laboratory in Wuhan, it was accidentally leaked on purpose. Well, they think that the space junk was absolutely an accident done on purpose. Why? Well, because our space station is being phased out, and China just put the first module to theirs up there. So maybe they're taking over space. I mean, could you imagine the people up there in space just, I mean, China, their space force or whatever, their anti-satellite ballistics, they could take down everything that's not theirs. And I think that's what Space Wars is ultimately going to be about. Look, I'm generally not into censorship or removing people from the comment section, but there are some things, I really can't abide by, so I'm sorry about that. We're just going to add you to the blocked list. You're welcome to call in and explain yourself better. Did Tim cover the CDC announcement? Oh yes, that you don't have to wear a mask if you're not vaxxed or whatever. I mean, whatever they're saying, it's like, how are they going to know anyway? How about this one? You don't have to wear a mask if you're not dumb. All right, phones are open, 833-311-1984. A few other topics I brought up earlier this year, that 2021 is the year set for Mad Max. It's not a coincidence that here we are, 2021, and we're getting a little bit of that Mad Max panic on the East Coast. It's probably a nothing, but they bring it up. We also talked about fear versus alt fear. Now, this is an important point, and I don't think anybody's actually talking about this. Fear versus alt fear. When I noticed that the vaxophobes were doing die-ins, I knew something was up. I saw the, and when I say vaxophobes, I mean, until you show me the bodies, it's an irrational fear. Okay, so earlier that day I said, there's a point where crying wolf makes you a crisis actor. It's beginning to look like David Hogg. If you have to fake footage, if you have to fake evidence to make people think they should be afraid. So you have people sticking magnets to their bodies, saying, oh, the vax did it. Or showing pictures of people and their skin's falling off. The vax did it. All this stuff, and it's being blamed on the vax. And I'm wondering, is this just the other side of the same psyop? Is this fear versus alt fear? And I've also pointed out that the same people who are vaxophobic are pro-gun, and the people who are gunophobic are pro-vax. And these are all very important points, and I think that it relates to the polarization. But I was just saying that there's a point where you're looking at crisis acting from the anti-vax side. And sure enough, that day, within a few hours of me saying this, a bunch of anti-vaxxers played dead on the sidewalks with big needles sticking out of their backs in order to draw attention to the fact that vaxes will kill you. And so then my question is, well, if they will kill you, then why do you have to manufacture evidence? It should be self-evident. Like, why do they have to sell us on the existence of a pandemic? Because it's not self-evident. So I'm just suggesting that we're looking at fear versus alt fear. Something else I want to mention. Yesterday I brought up how in Transylvania at Dracula's Castle, they're actually giving people vaccines. So Dracula's Castle is COVID 19 vax central there if you're in Transylvania, if you're Romanian or whatever. And I thought that's kind of a weird choice. And so we were just, trying to figure out what's the deal. Dracula's Castle in Transylvania picked as a COVID-19 vaccine center. And someone suggested, I think it was Xerath the Alchemist said, "Oh, well, it's because Dracula is based on Vlad the Impaler. That would be your connection here. You have this I thought the connection was simply that the name Fauci could be rearranged into Dracula. If you don't mind rearranging a couple of letters and bending the F down into an A, which is slightly cheating, but not really. Knockout says they don't want to stop evolution, they want to make it go in reverse. The world is flat and stationary. Well, it doesn't matter if it's flat and stationary anymore if 99% have accepted the new version, which is spinning ball in space that's gradually heating up because of your decisions as a consumer. 6.1 magnitude quake strikes off of Japan's Fukushima prefecture. 6.1 magnitude quake. I brought this up because Fukushima is the first 311. So we had COVID, Ground Zero, Seattle on 311 for the pandemic, but 311, 2011 was the disaster in Fukushima. So I'm like, well, that's interesting they bring this up. And I was actually looking at that date. You also have the 311, 2004 subway bombings, fake bombings, that is. March 11th, 2004, terrorist bombings on the trains in Madrid. Now, something about that date. So, between March 11th, 2004, and September 11th, 2001, it's exactly 911 days. Even Snopes had to agree. They said, yep, there are exactly 911 days between the New York attacks, September 11th, and the Madrid bombings, March 11th. They use these numbers and program these events, programming, timing them, coordinating them. They're all linked in this manner. Pippi Langstroth says, "I'll take a shot of Jägermeister." Knockout says, "Tectonic plates only make sense on a flat earth map." I have not heard that. I'd be interested in hearing your explanation. I don't presently have an explanation for it, but I don't accept the conventional ones. Establishment science and establishment media both jumped the shark last year. You don't have to take them seriously. Hey, let's listen to President Obama during the New Hampshire debates thanking the devil.
And told that it can't be done, then it doesn't. I'm running for president because I want to tell them, thank you, say. And that's why I think they're responding in such large numbers.
Backmasking. All right, someone wants to call in 833-311-1984. Let me see if I've missed anything else in the voicemails. You can always leave messages when we're not live, and we'll play them. Okay, I have a few here. Let me see, what is this one? I got quite a few from one person, but I think he actually called in, so I don't have to actually play all of those. If you're not subscribed to the newsletter, I'll put a link in the chat below. A few more things I want to go over before we leave here. Just there's obviously it's something of a data dump at the moment. But I think that leading up to the solstice, I do believe that there may be something up. In fact, I was talking about this today. We're looking at the images of Colin Kaepernick adjacent to, let me bring this one up, Tebow. So it's like, while Tim Tebow and Colin Kaepernick are being brought up in the news, some mostly a meaningless story, they're being compared. But in all of the images and all the shots, you have the two of them adjacent to one another. And it's a perfect duality that they're creating here. And they've done this for a while. And this is, again, it's just worth noting because this is part of a bigger narrative. And it has to do with Western chauvinism versus this world communism or whatever. I mean, they're both being played in the same way. They're both opposites in this struggle or in this alchemical, whatever this is, pressure cooker. But anyway, I think it's just fascinating. They're both 33 years old, which has some specific meanings there as well. But I'm just pointing it out because many of these things are just brought out, you know, in the public, these sports figures. And to me, it's all just about pushing memes where we can see them, where whether or not you really pay attention, they get you into their world stage dramas so that when they make something happen, they're able to easily just get everybody on the same sheet fast. So here's the poster I referenced, A Time for Greatness, Kennedy for President. So this is believed by very deep QAnoners to be a reference to JFK Jr. coming back very soon and making America great again. And then here's a little bit of a meme from the Democratic Underground. Who says the left can't meme? I mean, this is probably all just theater anyway. But it says, probably just a coincidence. 2017, Gates casts the lone no vote on a sex trafficking bill. U.S. Congressman Matt Gates cast the lone no on a bipartisan human trafficking bill that sailed through the House with otherwise unanimous support. 2021, feds probe Florida Rep. Matt Gaetz for trafficking. He's being investigated by authorities who are probing whether or not he had relations with a 17-year-old violating trafficking laws. Again, serious irony here, but it's not going to be touched on by the QAnonists. For some reason, he gets a pass. All right, I'm putting the link to the newsletter below. Subscribe. A lot of interesting things happening this week and this weekend, but no spoilers. We're still working on South Pole. Anybody in Discord, if you want to join us there, feel free. And this is Space is
Have
Fake.
Have you ever looked away from Earth into the black void?
Yeah. As you can see the stars.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
we were never able to see stars on the lunar surface or on the daylight side of the moon.
It's not a black void. I mean, it's black, but there's all kinds of polka dot.
Space is fake AF. Space is fake AF.
There's more than stars. You can see planets. You can see moons.
You see the gas.
Stars, is it bright or is it dark?
have a link.
Comprehend.
Space is fake.